All right. Good morning, everybody. So Sam and Becky are still out having a great time. I got to talk to him a little bit the other day, and they're just getting ready to get on the cruise ship. He was very excited, so they're having a good time. Lisa and I and the rest of the family will be out next week, so it'll be Jared. We will not be able to answer phone calls, but if you need to text, we should be able to answer texts. However, if you need to talk, need any kind of ministry services, ask Jared, right? Email him, call him, whatever, and he can help you out. So that'll be good. All right. As far as schedule goes, in our bulletins, we have the ladies' study coming up on Monday. So here you all are having a great time in that and learning lots. On Tuesday, we have the men's study. Brian's been doing a great job in that, going through James. Wednesday, Joy Lunch at Applebee's. So that is still on. Hopefully those who regularly attend and maybe some who don't normally regularly attend can still make that. And then Thursday, Awana Stack'em. So the theme is Stack'em, which usually leads to a lot of fun game time. So, yeah. All right. Then, some prayer requests. So, as a lot of you know, Reed Black has passed away. His service was yesterday. So June is still grieving, and as are the rest of her family. So please keep them in your prayers. Paul Henning, I talked to him last night. He is not going to be released from the hospital as quickly as originally expected. Now they're looking at Monday. But please keep him in prayer as his body continues to fight off the pneumonia and a few other things. And then maybe a good announcement. We have some interest in a couple of baptisms. So the elders are planning a baptismal service. If you are interested, contact one of us, because we would love to have a huge baptismal service. But it's not just a show up and get baptized type thing. We would like to sit down and have a conversation with you and just, you know, talk about what you or your children's understanding of baptism is. And then once we go through that process, we're going to schedule it. And be looking forward to that. So there's lots more announcements, I guess. The kitchen is still kind of slowly going. It's moving forward again after a couple of weeks of not moving forward. But with that, I'd say let's worship together and have a great time.
Would you all stand with me for this first song, The Old Rugged Cross? As we sing these songs today, I think you're going to pick up a little bit of a theme. And our hope is in Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that you lived the perfect life. You sacrificed that life on our behalf, and you paved the way for us to be saved, radically saved, by grace through faith. Lord, thank you so, so much for that. Lord, as we sing these songs today, God, we just want to lift you up. We want to adore you and praise you because you're worth it. In the name of Jesus, amen. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Please be seated as we continue this morning. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. So my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. Oh, 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 oh. A If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Yes, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. If that's your testimony this morning, give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. He's worthy of our praise today. He is worthy of our praise. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have taken us from death to life by Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you today and we praise you today because you are truly our hope in life and in death. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong. Who holds our days within His hand? What comes apart from His great plan? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled sea soul? God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, He lives. Christ, He lives. And what gift will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed. And we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ, our hope in life and death. Oh,
Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Our ushers are going to prepare to take this morning's offering, and if you're visiting with us today, please don't feel obligated to give, but we give as an act of worship.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear in the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Robert's going to come up and dismiss kids for Children's Church.
All right, kiddos, come on up. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to raise up the children in your word, to raise up the children in your hope, and to raise up the children understanding that in Christ we have life forever. Thank you for that opportunity. And as we send them off to Children's Church now, may your blessing continue to be on our whole body. We pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. My name is Jared Schofield. I am an elder here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. I am not Pastor Sam. He's off having a great time while I'm up here with butterflies in my stomach. So I hope that he is back soon. As one-third of the elder team, it's my honor and my pleasure to be able to speak to you today from the pulpit. And more than me, we're here to hear from God. We need to hear from Him today. So let's just get right into it. Once upon a time, there was a boy who grew up in a strict household. He worked hard to earn the straight A's that he received for his efforts. In fact, he advanced beyond many of his same age and became so zealous for perfection that he began persecuting those who were leaving the same school of thought that he held to. But one day, everything changed, and he joined those who were leaving, abandoning the illusion of perfection in favor of another, better way. He later went on a journey telling others about the truth that he had finally understood. Many didn't believe in his true change, and many didn't accept it. They thought he was the same old guy, but he wasn't. He had been changed and was now living differently than before. He was preaching a message of grace for imperfection because of love. Now, you already may know who I'm speaking about. After Saul was saved and commissioned by Jesus to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he confirmed the gospel message with the other apostles. To be sure, the same message was being preached to the Gentiles as is being preached to the Jews. As he made his way through Galatia, or modern-day Turkey, on a missionary journey, he set up churches of believers by preaching the gospel. As with many other churches represented in the Bible, they had some concerns that needed dealing with. So, Paul writes them a letter. And that's where we pick up with the letter to the Galatians. That's what we're going to be reading some of today. But first, You may be wondering, why am I dressed so casually today? For those of you listening at home, I'm wearing a black hoodie sweatshirt with a big white Cairo on the front and a black flat cap hat with the same Cairo symbol on the front. Not your typical Sunday morning attire. Now, some of you know what a Cairo is, but some of you may not. We'll dig into that a bit later. You may recognize these symbols and this attire if you've seen me or anyone in my family wearing them. They happen to be wearing them today. But what are they all about? What's the message? In our two-part sermon today and next week, we're going to take a look at Paul and the Galatian churches. We're going to connect Paul with the gospel of Christ and then see where Paul's exhortation to the churches in Galatia comes from and why. Today, I want you to remember these words. Till the day I die, I'll be a radical. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 and read along with me either on the screen or in your own Bibles. Oh, and really quick, you might notice that the quantity of scripture that we're going to be reading is more than usual. I want you to know that I believe that scripture is what we're here for. We all need to hear from God today, not from Jared. So it's the truth of God's word that we need in order to know what truth even is, what God's purpose and plan for us is as his creation, and to become more like Jesus every day. So we're going to read a lot of God's word today. So here we go. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Like in most of Paul's letters to the churches, Paul typically starts out with his greeting, consisting of his credentials, Paul the Apostle, right? Who he is and who he's writing to. Interestingly here, Paul makes a few notations regarding his commission from God, not from man. That becomes important later. So we'll continue in verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. Okay, now we're getting into the thesis statement of what Paul is going to be talking about in this letter. Remember how we discussed that Paul went through the area preaching the gospel, and they believed, and so he set up churches there in various towns throughout Galatia. Well, now that gospel has changed. That which they are conveying in their churches has changed. Paul is laying down the line that they cannot change the gospel to suit their fancy. Now, nor anyone else. But the gospel is what the gospel is. It's Jesus' gospel. It's not ours to change. So let's continue in verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul has a bit of an uphill battle here. When you consider that he established the churches in Galatia, who now seemingly think they know better and have adjusted the gospel message and are now being called out for it, Paul addresses the past in order to validate the current message to the Galatians. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Interestingly, you heard me say earlier that he validated his gospel message with the apostles. He discusses that in chapter 2. We'll get into that next week. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with them 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. So now that we have some background into Paul's concerns, his credentials, his past, we're going to look at Paul and the changes that took place within him. Remember, they all knew him as someone else. Two people, really. When you look at verses 13 and 14, it says, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Point number one is that Paul had a past. Paul had a past. Paul had a bad reputation with the church in Israel because of his background. This is echoed in verses 22 and 23. 22, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Turn with me now to Acts, book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. We can actually read about that former life that Paul is describing. In fact, Pastor Sam spoke on this not so long ago in our Sunday morning sermons in chapter 8 and in chapter 9 of Acts. Chapter 8 says, and Saul approved of Stephen's execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, devout men, buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. This is the person that Paul once was. Based on his actions from a former life in Orthodox Pharisaical Judaism, before he was known as Paul, he was known as Saul. So what happened? How did Paul go from the violent murderer to the servant of Christ mentioned in Galatians 1, chapter 10, which says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Point number two, Paul underwent a radical change. We know from Acts chapter 9 that Paul underwent this radical change. Let's take a look in verses 1 through 6. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. This is the moment that Paul was called, which he mentioned in Galatians 1, 15 to 17, which said, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So here Paul acknowledges God the Father as well as Jesus the Son. He says that he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his Son to me. This indicates that the he who is doing the setting apart and the calling is the Father of the person being revealed, who is called the Son. Therefore, the Father revealed the Son. The Father set Paul apart. The Father called Paul by grace. The Father is God, and the Son is Jesus. This goes back to why Paul is sure to distinguish who is his authority. Notice in Acts, his authority came from man when it says in Acts 9, 1 and 2, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now contrast that with his commission by God to reveal Jesus to the Gentiles that we just read in Galatians 1, 15 and 16. This contrast is very necessary. It's part of Paul's credibility to these people. Without it, he's just another potential false teacher peddling an untrustworthy gospel, someone writing in Paul's likeness, or a modern-day double agent, perhaps, a wolf in sheep's clothing. I believe this is why Paul says in Galatians 1, 10 through 12, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." So I know what you're all thinking. What in the world does all this have to do with me and the Cairo? Where does the Cairo come into all this? Paul's life was radically changed. And it could be summarized something like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Paul was on a trajectory of destruction and sin. And then one day, Jesus invaded his life and upset his whole world. Paul was shown the light and was changed that day. Can you identify with Paul today? Is your testimony a song of amazing grace? I believe that life doesn't stop on the road to Damascus. It doesn't stop at the old rugged cross. Jesus didn't radically save and radically change Paul for no reason. And I believe the same for you and for me today. Paul would later go on to say, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." He would go on to say that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which he prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Point three, Paul chose to live for Jesus. Paul didn't let his past get in the way or hold him back from doing what God had called him to do. My life was impacted by Jesus when I was 13 years old. The message of eternal life was shared with me, and I believed in Jesus for my salvation. I believed in his promise for eternal life, and I thought that if he was willing to die for me, then I would be willing to live for him. Friends, have you made that same choice? You see, the life you live for Jesus happens after you believe in Jesus, not before. Believing in Jesus is called justification. We all, now having believed in Jesus as our Savior, we now have a choice to choose today to live for Jesus. And we have a choice to choose tomorrow to live for Jesus. And 10 years from now, God willing, we'll have a choice then to live for Jesus. The impact of amazing grace in our lives by an awesome God the same God that revealed Jesus to Paul and has revealed him to us, motivates us to live for Jesus. This is why I wear the Cairo. The Cairo is a symbol of Christ. The Cairo is one of the earliest forms of a Christogram, formed by superimposing the first two capital letters, Chi and Rho, of the Greek word Christos. Now, there's nothing supernatural or exceedingly special about the Cairo other than it is an identifier. It's a chosen icon similar to the cross used to identify with Christ. Some of you may have also seen WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do, right? Which stand, these symbols are reminders of Jesus to us and to others. They call our attention to the Savior and remind us to live like Jesus lived, to choose God's word and his guidance over our own wisdom. This particular Cairo on my sweatshirt and on my hat is the icon of my favorite band, aptly named Disciple, whose focus is to share Jesus with anyone who will listen, particularly with headbanging and heavy metal. It's excellent. And they have an ongoing ministry to encourage believers with direct interaction with other believers, kind of like an online church, and through music ministry. Their signature song, and my favorite song, is called Radical. It summarizes my message today with these words. It's easy to find one that will compromise, but it's not easy to find one that's willing to stand. The road to hell is wide, but to heaven it's one way, one truth, one life. That's why we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus, and we don't care if the whole world sees us. From our chains, he has set us free, and I could never repay what he has given to me. I've been radically loved, I've been radically changed, and by his grace, I have been radically saved, and I'll live my life no other way, till the day I die, with my heart, with my soul. Till the day I die, I'll be a radical, with my blood, with my bones. Till the day I die, I'll be a radical. It's easy to find someone that's willing to die, but it's not easy to find someone that's willing to live. I want to walk in his footsteps. Even if the world hates me, be ready to love and not afraid to forgive. Never ashamed of the name of Jesus. And yeah, we want the whole world to see us. See, he's alive, burning in our hearts, offering mercy with outstretched arms. I've been radically loved. I've been radically changed. And by his grace, I have been radically saved, and I'll live my life no other way till the day I die. With my heart, with my soul, till the day I die, I'll be a radical. With my blood, with my bones, till the day I die, I'll be a radical. To my friends, to my foes, till the day I die, I'll be a radical. With my heart and with my soul, till the day I die, I'll be a radical. Paul's bad reputation became a thing of the past when he was radically saved and he was radically changed. He chose to live for Jesus regardless of what people would think. And thank God he did, because he brought the message of hope and life to us, the Gentiles. So today, my hope and my prayer for you is that you would choose today to be a radical, to choose to live for Jesus, never ashamed of the name of Jesus, even if the whole world hates us, being ready to love, not afraid to forgive, ready to share Jesus with the world because he's offering mercy with outstretched arms. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the example that we have in the scripture of a radically changed life, of someone who people thought was too far gone. Could it really be? And yes, by your grace, it's true. Our sin, our shame, it's gone. It's in the past. We can now live for Jesus. So Lord, help us today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, to choose to live for Jesus. Show us what that looks like through your word. Lead us step by step in your ways. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all.